Very happy to be joined right now by Browns president Mike Holmgren. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Vic.
Well, I want to start with the Super Bowl because I'm really curious. I thought about this as I was watching the game, but how you, as a person who coached in the game multiple times, as a team president of one of the 30 NFL teams not in the game, watches that. Is it any different than yours truly or any other outsider would watch it, any fan would watch it?
I don't think so, other than the fact that you know coaches, you've competed against coaches, you know players on both teams. There are a number of players on those teams that played for me at one time or another. And so that adds a little bit to the game. I was pretty neutral in watching the game as who I was rooting for, but it was a great game and enjoyed it very much. I wasn't there in person. You know, I learned a while ago that if I'm not coaching in the game, of course I could go and have a very nice time, but that's a little harder for me if I go and I'm there in person. If I'm going to go and I want to be coaching in the game or part of the organization that's playing in the game.
Does your mind naturally drift back to being on the sideline with the Packers for those two, with Seattle, where you were there coaching in it? Do you just naturally kind of put yourself there when you're watching the game?
I think it happens. Absolutely, it happens. You know, one of the things that happened in the game when Belichick told him to score, you know, I had done that in our game against Denver a few years before, and I remember telling my wife at the time, I said, you know what, their best chance is if they let him score. And it's such a, it goes against every fiber of your being as a coach and a defensive player,
sure,
to do that. But really, that's probably your only chance to win the football game. But it's a gutsy call, and he did it, and they gave him a chance to come back and maybe win the game at the end.
Did it surprise you at all that it wasn't really a shootout that a lot of people anticipated, that actually it was much more of a defensive oriented game?
It surprised me a little bit. I thought there'd be a little more scoring. I thought both quarterbacks and both teams were operating at a pretty high offensive level, in my opinion. And I thought if the Giants could put pressure on Brady with their pass rush, which was really good, that might change that a little bit. But I thought New England's offensive line did a great job in the game in protecting the quarterback. I thought there would be a little more scoring in the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been a busy offseason so far for the Browns, hiring a new offensive coordinator in Brad Childress. Tim Howe comes aboard as the secondary coach to replace Jerome Henderson. I want to start with Coach Childress, and I know Pat Shurmur will get into this in more detail when he meets with the media later on, but your thoughts on, first of all, on Brad coming aboard and the credentials that he brings and what he just in general brings to this team.
Well, Brad's an outstanding coach, and I've known him a long time. When I first met him, I had just arrived in Green Bay, and then Brad was on the staff at the University of Wisconsin with Barry Alvarez. And then he had been friends with Andy Reid, who worked for me, and so we knew some people, and so we became pretty close. So that's, 20 years ago?
Right.
And, our connection over the years, because he worked for Andy in Philadelphia, and Andy and I are very close, and so we've kept in contact. I thought he did a really great job in Minnesota, and in an unusual set of circumstances near the end there with some of the things that happened, but he came very close to going to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And he's an excellent football coach, a very, very bright guy, knows how to coach quarterbacks, is a tough guy. You know, I mean, he demands a lot, and I think it was a great hire for Pat.
And that experience as a head coach, how important really is that on his resume, and how helpful would that be for Pat Shurmur as a younger head coach to have that influence?
Well, I just use my own experience as an example. When I was able to hire Fritz Shurmur, Pat's uncle, who had been a head coach, and as my defensive coordinator, and then I had Tom Lovato as my offensive line coach all those years, who had been a head coach. Anytime that I had a question, I could always go to those two guys and really get an honest, good answer, and it really helped me. So I think those types of things, and Pat and Brad have worked together, you know,
right,
in Philadelphia
in
for
Philly,
a long
yep.
time. So they know each other, they trust one another. I think the biggest challenge for a guy who's been a head coach and now he comes back in another role, in this case, offensive coordinator. You know, the one thing that I ask all those guys is that you've been a head coach. Are you okay with kind of coming back and doing something else for another head coach? In this case, someone that actually, when Brad was the offensive coordinator, Pat was a position coach. So they've kind of flopped positions.
Sure.
And the guy's he's a football coach. So of course, you know he's coaching football. He's part of something we're trying to build here. He's excited about that, and so it's going to be a good thing for Pat.
And they see the same thing. They work together in Philly. They see their view of offense and how it's done. That meshes perfectly because, as you said, they work together.
Yeah, and they but every coach, I will say yes, on one hand. Then on the other hand, I would say every coach brings a certain uniqueness to the table, and that's a good thing. Mm. You know, I think Pat, when he goes into his offensive meetings, to have creative juices going and to have different ideas from all the coaches, not just the coordinator, from all the coaches, I think is a healthy thing, as long as all the coaches understand that eventually the coach says, okay, we're going to do it this way. Thank you for your contribution.
Right. And you've sat in this role as a head coach, and there is that division of labor with regard to, say, the play calling. And as we understand it now, Pat would continue to do that. But how did you handle, just in your own experiences, not specific to this, but how did you handle when you, as a head coach with your offensive background and as a former coordinator in San Francisco, handle that when you dealt with other coordinators in your other coaching stops?
Well, I always was going to call the game. I mean, until I thought that I couldn't do it anymore. Because I like to do it. I played quarterback. I'd always call the game ever since I was in high school, and so it was a pretty natural thing for me, and it was fun for me. Mm-hmm. And so, what I encourage the guys to do, though, is that in putting the game plan together, they really worked independent from me. I'd work separately and put my own game plan together. The rest of the offensive staff would put their game plan together, and then sometime on Tuesday, I would come into the room and we'd merge the two ideas.
Right.
But I got to say, you know, that's the beauty of being the head coach. So, and sometimes the guys have their feathers ruffled just a little bit, but I said, hey, listen, we'll save it for next week. It's a good idea, but I think these are the reasons I want to do it this way. And you kind of work through that.
Sure.
And I think it's a healthy way to do it. You allow – I remember one quick story, Gruden and Andy Reid and Mariucci, when they were young guys on my first staff in Green Bay, I didn't know this at the time. I'm just coaching, and I'm just – well, if they ever got one of their ideas accepted into the game plan after I left the room, they would lord it over the other two forever. And it was a big deal. I didn't realize that. So, but then when I was told that, it is a big deal, you know. And as a young coach, I remember when I was doing it for Bill Walsh.
Sure.
If all of a sudden he just said, "Hey, that's a good play, thank you," that's a big deal.
Wow.
And so I tried to remember that when I was a head coach.
Browns president Mike Holmgren joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Another addition to this staff, replacing Jerome Henderson as secondary coach, Tim Houck. What can you tell us about him?
Well, Timmy was on. He was a player for me when I was in Green Bay. Dick Geron was his position coach. And I can honestly say I've probably never seen a player get more out of his ability on the playing field than Tim. I would say, and I would tease him about that, I think he's the ultimate overachiever. Mm-hmm. He was a good football player and a tough guy. But he was able to make the football team because he – worked hard, so hard at it, and he was smart, really smart. Natural talent to play in the secondary in this league. You'd say, okay, he's always going to kind of be on the edge, but he always made our team. Why did he make the team? Because he was the special teams captain. He made every play on special teams, and then he became a very good safety, and he was a tough guy. So he brings that as a player to coaching the position. And I think players under him, I know players that work for him, appreciate that. They listen to him. He's been there. He knows how to teach him, and he's a good communicator.
This offseason is going to be dramatically different for the entire league, obviously, than it was last year. And it's got to be exciting because we had so much uncertainty at this point a year ago, and we had no offseason. As you look at it big picture, just how great is it from your standpoint to know that the calendar is gonna line up the way it's supposed to, that you're getting ready for the draft. You got free agency, of course, coming up March 13th, the draft in April. Combine will come up first before those. Just your thoughts on going into this offseason as a normal offseason.
I think it's great. I think we all were feeling a little funky last year in the offseason, not the least of which, new head coaches. I mean, Pat came into a situation raring to go, first-time head coach, and now he had nobody to coach. And so that was hard for him, and I understood that. So being able to put up the calendar, getting everything in order, adjusting to the new rules of the offseason programs and all that, but to be able to plan for that, that's what coaches do. We get very robotic, and we like things in order, and we like things done a certain way,
sure.
And now we can do that this year. So we're looking forward to it. We have an exciting position in the draft, I think, coming up. It's another step. We have to take another big step in the building program around here, and so that's what this whole offseason is kind of targeted at.
And no bones about it. You've made no bones about it. Tom Heckert's made no bones about it. It's an important draft. I mean, they're all critical, but I mean, this one carries a lot of weight in this program and in what you have planned with this football team going forward. So I would think. You've said it before in the past, but now here we are in February. We're moving closer to it. There's got to be just that sense of excitement about making this team better, and you're getting closer to the chance to do that.
Sure. I mean, I think if we can continue to get players in here by the draft that contribute like they've contributed in the first 2 years, that your roster then just gets appreciably stronger each time. And when you get enough good players in there like that, then now you got a chance to win games. And so, Vic, last season was hard. We've talked about that already. We're
right.
In a lot of close games and that didn't come out the right way. This next year, my hope is that we have to take we have to take a pretty big step this next year.
And a lot of people ask us this via our Browns official Facebook, Twitter pages, social media. How is Colt McCoy, just his general health? They just want to know how he's feeling because they haven't heard from him or seen him in a long time. Just can you give us an update on him?
Well, I haven't seen him really since they left after the week right after the season, but I did talk to him at that time, and he passed all his tests, and he's feeling fine, and he has no residual effects from the play, no one will work harder this offseason than Colt McCoy. So I'm happy we got through all that, and he's fine, and he appears to be.
For you, this had to be also a special weekend this past weekend because the selection of the 2012 Hall of Fame class was done, and one of your former guys, Cortez Kennedy, was in that group. How great did that feel?
Oh, it was great. I was really, really happy for him. I got him at the end of his career. He had been probably the best player for the Seahawks there for a number of years, and then I had him his last 2 years. And then after he finished playing, actually, I almost hired him a couple times to coach. He's a great guy, a fun guy, a great football player. I mean, for a guy who plays inside and as big as he was and can move like he could, he's special. And I'm really happy. I just tried to phone him, as a matter of fact, and I'll get a hold of him here in the next couple of days. So he deserves it, and it's a great thing for the city of Seattle,
sure.
And the Seahawks and certainly for Cortez.
Great stuff. Thank you so much, Mike. We appreciate the
time. Thank you. Anytime.
Browns President Mike Holmgren joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.